All right, welcome back to the TechNet Edge Show. Here we are with another episode. Got some news for you today.
Big news.
Yes. Yes.
Especially
indeed.
If you are in Europe.
Okay.
And you are really missing TechEd. Mm-hmm. Because we're happy to announce registration for TechEd Europe has opened. So it's going to be June 26th through the 29th in, wait for it, Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, there
Amsterdam.
We go. There we go. Hey, well, don't forget about that event. That's 2 weeks prior to that, though.
And, of course, 2 weeks prior to that, we're going to be in Orlando for TechEd North America, but we'll talk about that here in just a second, because with the TechEd Europe stuff, now, early bird registration is already open. You can save 300 euro by registering now, and also plan to get there a day early, because we love those pre-conference seminars that you can go to, get some of that in-depth knowledge a full day before, jamming your head packed full of stuff. So Monday the 25th of June is going to be the pre-conference seminar. Couple of things. Now, this these things are both for TechEd North America, which is June 11th through the 14th in Orlando, and also TechEd Europe again, June 26th through the 29th in Amsterdam. When you register, free TechNet subscription.
Wow.
Did you know that?
That's pretty impressive.
Free TechNet
subscription. That's new. That's new.
Absolutely.
Lots of downloads for free for you for TechNet Plus subscriptions.
Yeah,
always good.
Get your copies of Windows, Office, everything else. You've got that the ability to download that. And of course, all of that great technical in-depth knowledge and the benefits of being a subscriber. And then, as I mentioned before, if you register by March 31st for TechEd Europe, 300 euro discount.
Wow.
And then for TechEd North America, the early bird discount part, we've kind of gone past that. They've been open for registration for a little bit. A couple of other things on the TechEd North America front. They've got some great stuff that they're doing this year on their website with their blog. So they've got a new blog, so northamerica.msteched.com/blog. And then for the first time ever, they're doing this cool thing called TechEd Insiders. So if you want to be the first person to know about all the information and stuff going on at TechEd North America in Orlando, go to northamerica.msteched.com and register for to be an insider. Mm-hmm. So for those folks, just to again review for Amsterdam, go to europe.msteched.com, get your registration, and then for the North America side, northamerica.msteched.com.
And then, of course, you know, we'll have TechNet Edge on site for
we
both
will be
of
there.
Those. We'll be there. We'll be shooting interviews, so you can come stop by, say hello, check us out, watch some interviews if you'd like.
Sure, be good. Absolutely. Yep. And we will both in Orlando and Amsterdam.
That's right. And we also have, other than the event news, we also have some news, which was actually from December, but, you know, we want to go ahead and raise that up here. One of them being Office 365 now has an add-in for SBS. So with SBS, you can have a central place to manage all of your users.
And that would be Small Business Server, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah, acronym.
Make sure I've got the right acronym.
That's right. Yep. All right. So, and the other thing, the other piece of news that we have with Office 365 is we have some updated trust center for Office 365, and we had a number of different certifications that we have. So for EU and US certifications on compliance, one of the things that we're now certified with Office 365 is HIPAA and ISO 27001. Those are some terms that people that are in security, they know what those are all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so you can actually go now and check out all of the latest things now at trust.office365.com.
Excellent.
And along with Office 365, up next, we have an interview with Jeremy Chapman. So we're going to go ahead and go to that, and we're talking about Office 365 and web apps and productivity in all kinds of different places.
Awesome.
Sweet. All right, I'm here with Jeremy Chapman. And Jeremy, could you let folks know a little bit about what you do at Microsoft?
Thanks, David. Yeah, I've been working at Microsoft for a number of years. I've basically been doing a lot of Windows deployment over the past few years. I came over to Office in January last year, about a year ago, and basically with the charter of looking at Office vNext setup and deployment optimizations for that. But in the meantime, as we've been working on that, in parallel I've been working on how we do consumerization of IT and get Office to run on all these different device types, all the screen sizes, whether I'm doing virtualization, whether I'm doing native apps, or whether I'm doing web apps, and how that all works kind of in a managed enterprise environment.
Yeah, it's very cool. There's so many different places that Office is popping up nowadays. What are kind of some of the major categories that we see Office?
So from our Office standpoint, we want to make sure that we have the best experience across the devices that you care about, whether that is the PC or Mac in terms of the desktop form factor. Make sure that we cover also tablets, whether you're talking about iPad or Android or Windows tablet devices, also into phones. So all the different phones that you care about, again, iOS, Android, Windows phones, so all of these things can basically consume your documents, be able to edit them in different ways, and be able to really work through your documents that you really care about and have them follow you from device to device, so you're never left stranded without mm-hmm. those docs and without the ability to edit them.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you kind of have like that, those device optimized or those kind of rich client experiences with the full-blown install of Office on the Mac and on the PC. You've got the rich experiences mm-hmm. on the phone. Of course, there's some other kinds of apps, the viewers and XAML and some other things there. Yeah. What are some of the other kind of areas that we see it popping up?
So we had a couple of big releases last month in terms of being able to release and deliver Office experiences for iPad and Android with basically our Link clients and OneNote experiences that we have released. And then we've got basically the ability to consume web apps as kind of a breadth means of getting to any of your documents. So we look at making sure that you can use basically any browser that you're going to have on any of those device types. Again, whether they're a PC, a phone, or a tablet. And because it's a web application, you can basically fire it up on any browser that we support. And we support most of the browsers that you'll care about. Mm-hmm. Safari, Chrome, Internet Explorer, Firefox, all of those things. So you've got a, you know, basically ubiquitous coverage across those devices, and we're working on, you know, bringing out native experiences like you saw with the Link releases last month in December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you kind of have that middle ground, right? There's some different virtualization options that comes into play if you so desire, right, as a company.
Yeah. And a lot of companies, and I've had a lot of good discussions with IT managers across the board, a lot of people want to get to a zero footprint state in terms of having files on these devices because they can't manage or audit what's going on with the device. I don't necessarily want files to be stored to the local hard drive of an Android tablet because I can't ensure its health. You know, we've got things like network access protection on the Windows side. We've got things that will monitor with quarantine, you know, in terms of VPN connectivity back to, you know, a hub site or back to the intranet, corpnet sites. So with these types of devices, if you do choose to let them inside of your firewall, what do you do in terms of being able to restrict access to different files that might be very important to you as an IT manager or very important to you as a business? So a lot of people are opting to do that zero footprint remoting into a Windows environment.
Yeah.
Or even using phone or tablet-based software that kind of remotes into an experience mm-hmm. that basically doesn't leave a trace on that device itself. It's only the connection that you care about. And basically that limits your risk down to if somebody wants to take a camera and take a screenshot of the screen itself, that's probably the only way that things can leak out of it because there's no way to actually store them locally and send them from that device specifically.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. And you have things like you could do full desktop virtualization with VDI or session virtualization or remote app or all these different technologies, at least the Microsoft offers out there for that. You mentioned web apps, and it seems like web apps is kind of the one technology that really spans pretty much everything because everything's got web browsers, right? Yeah. What are all the different types of browsers that Office 365 and I assume SharePoint, you know, supports out there?
So, well, basically, we look at testing all of our web apps, and people will say, well, there are various non-parity issues that we have across some web application hosted versions of Office apps right now. We're working on all of that to make sure that you have a great experience with Safari, with Firefox, with IE, with Chrome, and all the major browsers out there. We can't, of course, test every single browser that exists because there are so many of them. Mm-hmm. And we can't test every version that's ever existed of all of those types of
right.
browsers. But, you know, we try to make sure that we cover the browsers that are relatively new that people care about. And we look at, you know, consumption data, how many people have various browser versions installed. And we try to cover that 80%+ of the browsers that are being used today and make sure that you can access your Office files across all of those device types.
Yeah, it's very cool. So could we check it out? Could we see the web apps in action and see what that looks like, what that experience is?
Yes, actually. Well, let's do that really quick. So I've logged in now to Office 365. I'm just going to open up a document here just for sake of showing what that looks like from a rendering standpoint. Now, the cool thing is with this, we want to make sure that we have full fidelity of our documents. One of the core tenets from Office in general, and one thing that we think differentiates us versus other apps that do OpenXML, is that we can view the files as they were natively created in a full client and be able to round trip them. So let's say I go to a PC and I use Office 2010 and I create a beautiful Word doc that's got smart art and pictures and other things in it. I want to be able to view that with full fidelity through the web app or through my phone. And if I do edits on the phone, I want to make sure that all that stuff that I did in the PC that might have been PC specific, again, smart art and all that kind of stuff, is still there and hasn't been affected by the second save through my phone or through my, you know, non-Windows device, for example. So here I've got a normal request for proposal response doc that's got a few things. You see I've got some text treatments here, and this is my demo text. I have some smart art that we'll see here. And I have an image of a key. If I go and edit that in the browser, what will happen is, and you'll see, it will change basically the look of that document. See what happened in the first view, I'm actually rendering that on a server, basically on a SharePoint farm. That server is then pushing down an image file down to my browser that says, here's what the document looks like in full fidelity. When I do this, however, I'm rendering it as HTML, and you'll see that there are some different differences in terms of how it renders. Here the text treatment went away in terms of the text treatment that we had with the blue three-dimensional look and feel of the text. The smart art is denoted here, so we can see that there was smart art there, but I can't actually view it. And then I've got the image that's there as well. So that is showing everything that's in the doc, but doesn't necessarily have all of the different renderings of all the different features that we have inside of Word.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, you get a good, you know, idea of what's going on in the document. You can make a bunch of different changes, it looks like, from the ribbon there. But if you want to have that full fidelity experience, right, we just go ahead and click on the open, right?
And there we go. Then I can open it. If I want to go back and basically open it inside of Word itself, then I can launch Word. I'll go ahead and click Edit there so I can show that I can edit the doc. That will then broker the connection back so it can download the file for me.
Now, of course, once you keep you signed in, then you don't have to do this
every
time.
If you want to keep me signed in, yeah. That's what you would normally do.
If you want to, yeah.
But this is your PC, so I don't want to store my creds on your PC.
That's right.
So now I've got the full fidelity again that we saw that was previously in the browser that we had, again, rendered remotely on a server, pushed down that image file, so it looked exactly like this. And you can see all the different treatments around the text and the smart art and everything else is working as you would expect on a local system running Word. So that's kind of the difference between what you've got from a web app standpoint. And I'll just close that down and just show you. So here if we look at kind of the elements that you can do in terms of a full app experience, you can see there's quite a few tabs, a lot of functionality. When I go to all the different references, mailings, review, all that stuff that I might do from a productivity standpoint, if I'm in the office, those are a little bit different in terms of the feature set I'm probably going to use when I'm inside the web app. So if I go back to my SharePoint site, I'm going to reopen that again in the web app and just click Edit in the browser again. We have a little bit quite a bit of difference in terms of the functions that are available to us. So we have the main ones in terms of putting in text and editing that and making that look different. We have, you know, the insert functions and the view functions. But you can see that a lot of the functionality is really the core stuff that you're going to use if you're on the road, if you're in the browser, you need to access something quickly, but not probably if you're going to write your memoirs.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff is going to be relegated to the full client apps.
Yeah, and then of course on Windows Phone, you can connect it up to the Office 365 portal and still view it that way. So one of the other things I know is really cool about Office 365 is that, you know, of course, we're going to keep iterating on the features and functionality that we provide to the Word app, for web app. Right, so we keep adding more features. If you have Office 365, if you've got, you know, let's say this functionality in the on-premise SharePoint, right, then, you know, just the next version updates and you'd get additional functionality there, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things in terms of our tenants from an engineering perspective also. We want to make sure that the online services, whether they be for SharePoint or Exchange, are keeping up with the on-prem, and if at some point they maybe can ship at the same time or even ahead of their on-prem counterparts, so we can move a lot more nimbly in terms of how quickly we can update that infrastructure. One of the cool things that we can do is the ability to co-author.
Yeah.
So this is brand new for the Office 14 wave 2010. We can actually have two people logged into the same file, which, you know, sounds like something that could never be done before, people have wanted for such a long time. And I can literally have a meeting with multiple people, for example, on a spreadsheet. And this probably happens a lot in various businesses where I've got a budget open or something that everybody in that stakeholder team is dependent on. They've all got certain pieces of that that they own. They can literally go in and edit pieces of that, and it will replicate for all of the different screens that are connected to it and all the people that see it. And they can actively chat with the folks that are actually editing the doc and see who's got it open. So it's quite a cool scenario. So what we can do is show that. And by the way, we've got an iPad here. We can show what that looks like even when I'm remoted into an environment or when I've got a web app running on that. And just to show kind of what that what that experience
looks
like.
Let's do it. I'll co-author with you. You can have the iPad and I'll have my laptop and we'll co-author on this guy.
Sweet. So I'll just open up a spreadsheet here. All right. So now I've got my iPad open. I'm in a team site and I've got my spreadsheet open with a bunch of important financial data. But you can also see that in the bottom right hand corner there we have the number of people that are editing against that document. Now, right now, it's just me in there.
And I'm logging in right now, so I'm about ready to type some stuff up here in a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go ahead and add some stuff into there, and then David's logged in, and he's able to actually...
Hi, Jeremy. Just said hello there in the document.
Awesome. So you're basically, let's explain, you're on a Windows PC. You've got the same doc open that I have open on my iPad through the web app here.
Yep.
And you've just interacted with me. We're viewing the same thing. We could be on the phone at the same time, and literally we can edit the app together.
That's right. It's very cool. Okay, so co-authoring is really, really fun. I like that a lot. I think one of the things that does come up, though, for some folks is, well, what if the opposite scenario? Instead of enabling this everywhere, how do I maybe limit the types of devices that have access to, let's say, for instance, Office 365 and the mm-hmm. SharePoint site?
So we've had this concept for years and years in terms of device-based health. You know, we've got things like quarantine and network access protection. Problem is when I got these devices connecting up to my network, I may or may not be able to determine things like, do they have AV installed? Do they have, you know, they meet all the requirements they need to meet in terms of their patch levels and everything else mm-hmm. and how new the operating system is. What if, Google, Apple, somebody finds a vulnerability in their operating system and that person's on an older version. And I know that vulnerability's there, but I want to be able to, you know, limit the access of those devices, at least until I know that these things have the current version and the security standards met mm-hmm. for my organization. So one thing that we can do about that is basically set up device-based, standards like we would in the Windows side mm-hmm. and say, okay, if it's this type of device, we'll give them some access. We'll let them maybe view files through the web apps, but we might not let them download the files to their PCs. Yeah. Let me just show you a demo of what that looks like. And I think that most people will have IIS services so that they can basically enable that role in their Windows Server environments. And you can actually use that to say, okay, what's trying to hit my SharePoint site? What's that device type? And based on that device type, do I just let him view the doc through the web browser, through the web apps, or do I let him also download and be able to email it off and store it on the hard drive and those types of activities? So let me just show you what that looks like.
Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, so I'm in IIS, and I'm basically going to set up some rules. And the way that I determine the rules, I go into the logs to see what types of devices are actually hitting my SharePoint sites, because I want to develop DocX rules in this case to show. In this case, we want to allow Windows PCs that we manage, that are domain joined and that have all of the health requirements that we've established through an app or something else. But we want to be able to limit the activity of, say, an iPad in this case, on DocX files that they can view them through the web apps, which I think a lot of people are going to want to do that anyway. But they can't download and save them a local copy to the hard drive, because at that point, it's kind of a lost document. I can't audit where it's going or what they're doing with that doc. So here I've found a couple of patterns that I'm going to add into my IIS, and basically I found that with this string with iPad, I can basically perform a block if I need to on that, and then for the document type here, I'm going to make that a .docx file and put in a wildcard there as well to make sure that all .docx files are covered by this rule. So we've already authored a URL that we can post up if users do try to download local copies. And we'll see that in a second once we jump over to the iPad. But that will basically give the iPad user a message that says, you're able to view the doc, but you probably shouldn't be downloading it to this device because we don't manage it. It's an unmanaged device at that point. So here I'm in my iPad itself. I've got my documents that I can open through the Contoso internet portal. I'm inside the firewall here. At this point, I'm going to open up my job description for Marketing Manager. Now what that's going to pull up is the web app inside the iPad that will render that document. Again, it's rendering that thing on the SharePoint server, sending an image down to the iPad, so we've got full fidelity viewing in Word of that document. Now if I go back into the document after I've looked at it, and I actually try to download a local copy of that, and here I'll just go into the doc again, click on the drop-down menu, and I'll try to basically send to a local copy. So I'm going to do send to download a copy. And then that's going to basically redirect me with my rules via IIS, because I've detected it's an iPad in terms of the string of who's trying to load that document. I've detected that it's a docx according to my rules, and it punts me off to this site here where it says Contoso IT support. Doesn't want you to be downloading a local copy onto this device that we don't manage. So we give you that web browser type access to it, but we don't let you do the full download so that I can send it off through other mail mechanisms, maybe put it up on a third-party file sharing site, those types of things. It's limiting that, so it's being basically rendered on the server side.
All right, very cool. Lots of cool stuff coming, or is here already, with Officer 65 in Office. So for those of you out there who have any questions, comments, feel free to comment on this post. Or if you'd like to see other things with the Edge Show, send us a tweet at TNEdge. And stay tuned for next week.
And I've got a 6-part blog series, by the way, on all this stuff, with a lot more detail, a lot more demos, a lot more ways of showing how this looks. Inside that. So if you go to the Office IT Pro blog and just search that inside of Bing or your favorite browser, your favorite search engine, I should say, you can find that, and I've basically written quite a few different articles on that. I want to update that with some of the new link features that we talked about, because I did that in the November timeframe, but a lot of great content there, I think, that you can get some value out of.
Great. All right. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.